107th Psalm. Are you there? Let's read verses 1 and 2. We'll have a word of prayer. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Why? Say this with me. For he is good. Give me an amen, somebody. And when is he good, Brother Bud? All the time. That's right. As Brother Bud always reminds me. Pastor, I know what you say. As he's laying in the hospital bed a couple times, he said, he's good all the time, Pastor. Yes, he is. For his mercy endureth forever. Verse 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would help us now as we look at your word together, to be drawn to you through it. God, may you use your word to challenge us today. God, I ask that you would make of us great witnesses of the gospel, that we would be willing and to share what you've done for us and how you've changed our lives and bettered us. And we ask that you would give us opportunity to do so. And we'll thank and praise you for all that you do in Jesus' name. Amen. I really appreciated the message this morning in Sunday school. We had a couple of videos about the camp and the school that's up there, and the group sang, and then Brother Aaron just shared with us from John 14, "Let not your heart be troubled." And I love that that passage. It's great. Well, I'm going to just do the same thing Brother Aaron did. I'm going to let the Scripture preach its own message. All right, I don't have to do a whole lot. Just let the Scripture preach. But what I want us to do, I'm going to keep this so simple and basic, but it says this: let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Now, if you're here this morning and you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you're here this morning and if you died right now, you know that you would go to heaven. Well, listen, we are the redeemed of the Lord, right? If you're here this morning, you know Christ your Savior, then this message is specifically to you, all right? Let the redeemed of the Lord do what? Say so. That's the context of this, or let's see, the grammar of this sentence. What kind of sentence is this? It's a command. It's an imperative sentence. Go back to your grammar days, all right? It's an imperative. It's a command. God isn't making a suggestion. He's not giving it out there as an option. He is saying, if you are one of the redeemed, here's what you're supposed to do. Say so, right? Real simple. Now, what I want us to do is just simply break it down a little bit into the other grammatical terms that you're used to. Who, what, when, how, why, and where, right? All those kinds of things. Who is supposed to say so? You've already know the answer now. Who's supposed to say so? The redeemed Christians. Thank you, Jonathan. The redeemed Christians. That's virtually almost everyone in this room. I don't know everyone specifically. I couldn't say that with dogma. I don't know for certain, but by and large, I have heard the personal testimonies of most everyone in this room, and so almost everyone in this room has this obligation, this command from God, not a suggestion, not a, well, if you have some time to get this in. No, this is why you're breathing. If you don't do this, there's no reason for God to leave us here, right? This is why we're here. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. That's the first thing. So who's supposed to do this? The redeemed. That's us. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. What does it mean to be redeemed? It means to be bought back, brought back literally from the brink. In fact, if we go ahead and read the next few verses, it'll tell us. Look at verse 3. He gathered them out of the lands from the east, from the west, from the north, from the south. Verse 4. And they wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in, hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord out of their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. That's what it means to be redeemed. Spiritually speaking, this was us, hungry, thirsty, in a desolate place. No hope, no help. We're doomed, literally. And God steps in and redeems us. And because of that, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. It's like a prisoner gets, what do we call it? What does a prisoner get? A pardon. And the Bible uses that word, right? God pardons our sin. There's a couple stories. I'll tell them to you real quickly. You've heard them before, so it's just those kinds of stories. Two kinds of prisoners that are spoken of here. The first one is, he is doomed. He's been scheduled to die because of what he's done. And, you know, right at the last minute, that call comes and he is pardoned. And that means that he no longer has to suffer for the wrong that he did. It does not mean, a pardon does not mean that the government made a mistake and you never did something wrong. A pardon means the government's absolutely right, you were absolutely wrong, you deserve this punishment, but for whatever reason, a pardon is granted. A pardon can be granted for any reason. We find that out at the end of every president's cycle, right? All of a sudden, pardons are handed out like water because they don't have to have a reason. They're the president. They can give a pardon to whoever they want. They're the president. Well, then there's that other prisoner. And this is the sad story. It kind of reminds me of the funeral yesterday. So the guy's sitting in the cell waiting for his time to be taken to be executed. And in walks a guy, maybe looking something like your pastor, if there's anybody else that good looking. And he looks up and he sees this guy in a suit, and in his mind he thinks, my mom is sending another preacher to pester me, and I've already told them no. And the guy in the suit says, I was wondering if I could have a few minutes of your time. And the prisoner just goes off the wall. No, leave me alone. I've told you guys time and again. And the suited man turns to walk away, and the prison guard says, you idiot, that was the governor. He had come to pardon you, right? And folks, that's where we are. We're these prisoners, right? And what we have is a God in heaven who's offering pardon. A God in heaven is offering redemption. And most of us here, we know we've trusted Jesus Christ, our Savior, and now we are that redeemed. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let's finish this up. So, to whom, then, are you and I supposed to say so? Don't make this hard. It's not rocket science. I'm a redeemed one. Who am I supposed to say so to? Everyone. Thank you, Brother Bill, over here. Everyone. Your family, your friends, your neighbors, the people you go to school with, the people you work with, the people at the grocery store. Let the redeemed of the Lord. You know when you stop doing this? When you're no longer the redeemed of the Lord. Well, you know when that's going to happen? Never, because you are kept by the power of God unto the day of salvation. So your job is just to keep saying so, keep saying so, keep saying so. Let the redeemed of the Lord never forget that one day, June 5th, 19... This is going to make me sound really old. 77, 16 years of age, I bowed my head before God and asked Jesus Christ to forgive me my sins. And from that day forward, I was pardoned. And from that day to this, I have a job. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Are you speaking it today? This is what we're supposed to do, to come along and say, I don't know what God's done in your life, but let me tell you what the Lord's done for me. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Do you think it might make a difference in someone's life if you were, regardless of what their circumstances are, if you were to simply say to someone else, hey, let me tell you what God's done for me. I was that one out there wandering in the wilderness. I was that one bitter and alone and hurting and in despair and felt like I had no hope and nothing to live for. And God came along and pardoned me. And I am redeemed. See ya. Seriously, it's just simply telling someone what God has done. Who's supposed to say the redeemed? To whom? To everyone. In your mind, for a moment, make a list of the people that you know for certain, if they were to die today, would not spend eternity in heaven. In your mind. Can you think of one or two? You got that list made up? Now then, add to that list people that you're not sure about. And by the way, that's where the list gets really long. If I had a dollar for every time I was standing at somebody's bedside or I was at a funeral and I said to the loved ones around them, do they know Christ? That I got the answer, I'm not sure. You can't even imagine how often that happens. I'm not sure. So now we've got this list. I know these aren't saved, and I'm not sure if these are saved. Let me ask you again, how important is it for you and I to say so if we are redeemed? How important is it to these people on this list for you and I to declare how good it is to have God in my life? As that song was saying, that Jesus is the best thing that's ever happened. Have we forgotten that? Been saved so long that we've forgotten Jesus, the best thing that ever happened to us? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So, let me ask you the next question. We're going to go through our series of grammar questions. Why should the redeemed of the Lord say so? What's the number one reason why the redeemed of the Lord should say so? Because God commanded it. I gave you that at the very beginning, because this is not a suggestion. This is a command from God. That's the number one reason. Okay, so we get past that one. Number one reason, because he commands us. Now, by the way, second reason to that is still related to his command. Why should my saying so be tied? My obedience to his command, what's it tied to? If you love me, keep my, there's that word, commandments. Can I be the, because I love you, can I say this? If you and I fail to say so, then we are declaring with our life we do not love Christ. Is that right? Am I understanding the scripture right? That if I love him, I keep his commandments, and this is his command. Amen? So if I love him, I need to be saying that I am redeemed, because that's what his command is. Hey, Pastor, that hurts. I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm not. I'm trying to avoid yesterday 1,000 times over. I mean, the wonderful thing I had a chance to do was to be able to stand in front of these people and say, I don't know anything about where this woman is spending eternity, but I know a God who can determine where every one of you will spend eternity if you let him. Right? I didn't leave them without hope. I couldn't give them a lot of hope for this woman. I don't know anything about her. I don't. I mean, you've heard everything that I know about her, and most of it isn't good. Right? It wasn't a pretty sight. But, boy, when we know the Lord, we need to begin to tell people so that others can learn. So, who? The redeemed. To whom? To everyone. Why? Because it's commanded. Why? Because we love him. Can you think of another reason why we ought to tell? Here's what Romans chapter 14 says. How can they believe except they hear? And how can they hear except one tell them? Because just as we were the doomed one in despair, out there in the wilderness, alone, without hope, desperate, that's where everyone on your list is. And they just simply need for someone to tell them. And how can they believe except they hear? So the reason we ought to say so is because he commands it. The reason we ought to say so is because we love him. The reason we ought to say so is because without us saying so, they are still without hope. Our saying so is important. So then we come to the whom, I'm sorry, to the when. When should we say so? What do you think? Say it again. Always. Always. When should we say so? Always. I mean, at every opportunity God gives you. Can I show you the two kinds of opportunities that God shows us very clearly in the Scripture? The Apostle Paul wrote this. There is a great door and effectual, what? Opened unto me. That's an opportunity. Sometimes, you know, the door just opens up. Like yesterday, I'm invited. They don't really know me. I literally stood at the pulpit and introduced myself to these 30 or so people that are attending this funeral. And there's a great door opened unto your pastor. I can either share the gospel or I can say a lot of nice fluffy words and be done, right? But the opportunity is there. I've got to do something with it. Sometimes the door is just open. But you know there's another way that the opportunity comes that's described in the Scripture? It's in Revelation chapter 3, and Jesus is showing us And verse 20, what does it say? Behold, I stand at the door and... Oh, the door wasn't open. There wasn't this great open door of opportunity. No, it is Jesus making an opportunity, right? Let me give you some really simple things. You know, some of you could join a gym. Some of you should join a gym, but that's beside the point. Some of you could join a gym, and you join a gym not because you're trying to get this, but because, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. You know, not because you're trying to, you know, sculpt your body into something, but you join a gym for this purpose, so that for an hour a week or 2 hours a week, you're going to have a chance to talk to people about the Lord. What if you just decided that you were going to make an opportunity, that you were going to knock on a door? You're going to start attending your, don't you just hate all of the meetings? You could just fill your calendar with meetings, right? There's always somebody that wants to meet something about something. But what if you just decided you were going to start going to the homeowners meeting, not so that you could complain about your neighbor's trash, but instead so that you would have an opportunity to share that you are redeemed of the Lord? That you would simply be knocking on a door, trying to make an opportunity happen. There's two kinds of opportunities. Sometimes God opens the door, and our job is to step through that door, and we better do it. Sometimes we need to knock on a door and see if we can't make an opportunity. When do we share the gospel? At every given opportunity. Your pastor is going to have an opportunity very soon. I have no idea who's going to move in next door, but you notice there's a for sale sign next door to our house. Somebody's going to move in there eventually, I would guess, right? I don't think it's going to sit empty. By the way, it's a beautiful home. I've been in it now. They've really fixed it up. It's very nice. I think they're asking like $147,000 for it. I have any idea, but, you know, there you go. A four-bedroom house, two baths. I'm not the salesman. I don't get a kickback, so don't worry about it. But, you know, I'm going to have an opportunity, an open-door opportunity. Now, sometimes I may have to open a door. Like, I could actually go over to a neighbor's house and knock and say, hey, I'd like to invite you over for a cookout. I mean, how much does it really take to throw three more hamburgers on the grill if you're going to fix them anyway, right? And I know it's scary, but that's what you do. You look for those opportunities. So who? The redeemed. To whom? To everyone. Why? Because we love him, because he commands it, because they need it. When? All the time. So how? And I'm done. How? How is it then that we say so? Well, there's two ways described in the scripture. There are two. One is so obvious that I would have to take you back to kindergarten for you to understand it. How do we say so? Speak. Thank you, Jonathan. All right. Speak. I don't know how else to say this. You know, just speak. Talk about the Lord. Brother Mike took us through a series on Wednesday nights here a while back. Well, just two Wednesday nights ago, whatever, he finished it up. And the whole premise of it is this. You know, sometimes we get so caught up in saying, oh, I've got to talk about the gospel only, or I'm never going to do anything. We're afraid to even start knocking on the door. You know what it means to knock on the door? To simply tell someone, wow, hasn't God been good to us today? Look at the beautiful weather God's given. Because that's all I've got time for. I'm paying for it. I've got somebody else waiting for me at the meeting out there. But I've planted that little seed that God is at work. And you followed up with something like this. God must really love you. Now we go. That person's thinking, God loves me? They may have never contemplated that thought before. But you've sown a seed. You've caused them to think about the Lord. And we miss so many opportunities because we think that here's what it means to redeem the Lord and say so. If you died right now, where would you go? And not every conversation is going to lead us to that one. It's just not. And by the way, if that's the first conversation you have with someone about the gospel, it's probably not going to be extremely powerful either. Not that the gospel isn't powerful by itself, I know. But... You know, look at the opportunities Jesus had to do that and how many times he says first to these sinners, let's sit down and eat first. Remember? That's what he was doing. Kind of cracking the door open. And then, before you know it, they're coming to him and saying, Master, what must I do to be saved? Glorious. Right? That's fantastic. Let the redeemed Lord say so. So how do we go about it? We do have to speak with our lips. But we also, here's a verse that the Bible, that we find in the Apostle Paul's writings that we often overlook. It says this. Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Corinth. And he says, ye are our epistle. You remember what the next thing says? Known and read of all men. Do you know what? As you work, and you work like Jesus would work, you work hard and you work honest and you're diligent and you're careful and meticulous about your job, someone is watching you. You're an epistle, known and read of all men. And you put those two things together, you put life and lip together, and what you have is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. The gospel. See how that works? That's what it is. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. That's what we're trying right here at our church to give you opportunity to do. We're creating opportunities. We're knocking on that door, creating opportunities for God's people to proclaim, I am, I love that choir song, by the way, redeemed by the blood of Jesus. It doesn't just say I am redeemed, but it says I stand redeemed. Do you know one day I will stand before God, and the only way I will stand before God is the blood of Jesus Christ. That's it. I have nothing else to claim. But because of the blood of Jesus Christ, I will stand redeemed. And I ought to say so. And as I say so, I love this. The people who tell me that witnessing doesn't work are typically the people who don't witness. And they're absolutely right. You don't tell people, they won't respond. You're absolutely right. That's the way it works, right? If you never tell anybody, you're never going to... Well, you know what, Pastor? I haven't seen anybody get saved like that for years. Hello! Of course! But when God's people start doing what God wants them to do, let the redeemed Lord say so. What happens is that literally, not out of the woodwork, but out of the wilderness, souls start coming in. And that, folks, that's a fun place for a church to be. Are you ready? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Heads bowed, eyes closed, please.